Matthew chapter 12, and we're going to look at verses 33 to 37, and it's in the context of what Jesus is teaching here about a tree that's known by its fruit. We're looking, basing this in Matthew 12, verse 33 to 37. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Thank you. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak of good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. This is why it's important to bear fruit. Because to bear fruit is a major part of what comes out of our mouth. Fruit is also seen by our actions, but it's also seen by what we say, and so on. And that is the context of which it speaks here. And Jesus continues this parable with regard to where he speaks about the unpardonable sin, where one can blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And again, it speaks here, and I'm noted by this, it says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad. That's interesting. So God has both good and bad trees. And if a tree is bad, then it's going to continue. It will remain in that state. And the fruit that comes from it will be no good, and eventually it will have to be burnt. But if a tree is made good, then that tree is going to be worked upon in order that it brings forth more fruit. That's what farmers do. That's what people do with orchards and so on, so that they can bear more and more fruit. And trees are able to bear a considerable amount of fruit. Some seasons, you will find that some trees, if they're nurtured well and looked after well and pruned well, they can give so much fruit that almost the boughs can break. I always remember once seeing a plum tree, and we gathered these plums, and you know, the boughs, they couldn't hold the plums. There were so many, they were bowing down, and some of them were actually slightly splitting because of the weight of the fruit. And it's also a good sign, isn't it? It's lovely to see a lot of fruit being borne on trees. It's a time of harvest where you can go and get mighty big bags, and you can fill those bags full with lots and lots of fruit. And look what you can do with that fruit. One can make jam out of it, preserves, cook with it, eat it as well as fruit. There's a number of things that you can do. And so that is what we're looking at. That is what God wants fundamentally, spiritually, to do with us. You see, fruit is the only sign that tells whether we're Christian. Nothing else. Not about what you say. That does help. We are to confess, we are to speak. But fundamentally, it tells whether we're Christian or not. And in Psalm 1, good psalm this one, you all know it well. In Psalm 1 and verse 3, it says, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." There we are. That speaks of a fruitful Christian. A Christian who, it says, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And the rivers of water are absolutely paramount. The water, as we know, is the washing us, building us up in the faith. And we all need washing. We all know when we had a hard day, it's been hot or whatever it is, it's nice to get home and even have a bath or a shower. One feels refreshed by it. And so how much more do we spiritually feel refreshed when we have been washed by the word of God? And as it says, we are like trees that are planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season. So there has to be water, the roots have to be healthy, in order for fruit, obviously, to be brought forth in season. And notice it says, it's fruit in season. And that varies, doesn't it? There are times when we wonder whether we're bearing fruit or not. It seems at times we feel pretty barren. It's like we've lost almost all our leaves. It's not sure whether the tree is alive or dead. Just like some animals, they go through a molting season. Particularly birds. If you see birds, when they go through a molting season, they look really dowdy. They really do. You know, they've lost that luster. You know, birds are all about plumage, isn't it? It's all about feathers that make them look beautiful. But when they go through a season where they're molting, they really look off colour, you know. And they are. They really are. And it's the same with us. So although we're bearing fruit, we can't always be, in a sense, outwardly looking that we're bearing fruit every second, every moment of the day. Because we go through various trials and tests. And sometimes it just, you know, you think, "Oh, I don't seem to be bearing much fruit. I don't know, it seems to be going on for a long season, this does." And then suddenly you are in an opportunity or in a situation of where that fruit can be seen. Whether it's in ministry or whether it's at your work with your family. Or even a trial that you go through. Sometimes when we go through a trial,
It really looks as though we're not very fruitful. I'm reminded of Job when he went through his trial. At that time when he was going through a trial, he certainly didn't look very fruitful at all. Looked as though all of it had been taken away. You know? So what's God doing there? God is pruning. And he knows how to prune. And sometimes that pruning takes a very long time. Now, I can only conclude from that if you're going through a trial that seems to be taking a very long time, there seems to be some amens going on around that place, I can only assume one thing, that when the season comes, boy, is it going to be a season. It's going to be a season of real fruit bearing. And that's my confession. Because a bumper harvest, amen. Because that is our God. And I know some are going through a real hard pruning. A real hard pruning. But hold on there. Because you're going to bear the fruit in that right time and season. Because the Bible tells us. That's why we stay with it. That's why we bear with it. You see? And we know what a lot of trees look like in the winter. They go completely bare. They almost look as though they're dead. But they're in a sort of dormant period, you see? So we can't always keep bearing fruit all the time. We have to go into spiritual rest sometimes, you see. It's impossible to bear this fruit all the time. Because it will take all the energy out of us or out of trees and whatever, and then they will die. So there has to be a preservation, you see. And that's, of course, what it speaks here in Psalm 1. It's a lovely psalm. You know, those who are planted by the rivers, they're going to bring forth fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither. So when you bear those leaves, they're not going to wither. They're not going to dry up. They're not going to need spraying because of green fly or black fly or diseases. Sadly, we see some of our trees right in the heart of summer. They're attacked. They look as though they're losing their leaves. Some trees are losing their leaves now, and they shouldn't be in August. It's because of the signs of the times. You see? Sadly. So we're not going to lose our leaves in the times of the season. And whatever he does shall prosper. And we know that prosperity comes in seasons. There are times when it just seems, I'm not prospering. Things are all going wrong. It's pruning. You're just being pruned. Because there are times to prosper. And times when not to prosper. We have to let God work in seasons. We, of course, know this well in Ecclesiastes. And he does this. We know the parable of the sower, don't we? But I want to just look at this parable in Luke 8. And I want to hone in on verse 14. Luke 8. And we're just going to look at verse 14. I think that's the verse. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. So what attacks fruit? What is that spiritual black fly or green fly? Or other pestilences? Well, it's quite clear what it says. Riches, cares of the world. Those things that God is trying to deliver us from, they're the very things that God will make us fruitful. If we succumb and we strive to want to be rich, to want to have our way, with riches comes anxiety. worry. You mark my words. You look at millionaires, and I know a few millionaires, and I'm talking very wealthy people. I meet them in my profession as an artist. And I tell you, they are bound in worry, anxiety, and so on. They ain't happy people. They are not. But we also have to be on our guard. Because, okay, we need money to buy things, food, and so on. And we know that everything is getting more and more costly. We're seeing the spirit of this age. We're seeing how people now are driven to try and maintain a lifestyle, and as a result of it are getting themselves more and more in debt. I heard yesterday on the radio that the average amount of debt now for those under 30 is around about £30,000. That's just an average. It can be even higher than that. £30,000. Has to be paid off. Has to be paid off. And what one has to concern oneself about, I know it's, praise God, we're being delivered from all that thing, but the point is that debts have to be paid. And if somebody dies, then it can pass on to the family, because debts have to be paid. And so that's the big concern that's happening now. But all of these things are getting worse and worse and worse, and will. That's why we find that all economies in it eventually are all going to crumble, come down, because it's all built on debt. Everything's built on debt today. And God is delivering us from that spirit. He's delivering us from that bondage. And believe me, he will. As you let go, as you let go of the fear and anxieties of your finances or whatever it is you are battling with, we have to let go totally. And the point is, and I've had to learn this one, we say, think to ourselves, well, I have let go. I mean, I don't know what else to do. I've let go. And God says, you haven't let go of fear. You haven't let go of mulling it around still in your mind. You haven't let go of keep checking your bank account. How much is there? You haven't let go of, you've looked at your wallet 5 times today. You haven't let go. It's surprising how it gives itself away. God is bringing every one of us in our situations, our circumstances, to totally, utterly, completely let go. And he ain't going to give up till he has done it. And you will know when you've done it, because the devil will be off your back then. You see? Those darts that still try to get in and so on. This is ultimately what he's doing. And God has a way of bringing us to a point where we just say, that's it. I let go. Hands up. I don't care anymore. I either sink or swim. I don't know anymore. Don't know, and I don't even want to know. That is ultimately what he's getting us all to. And then you will see him come in like a flood and raise that standard. Because we're not going to go under, as the enemy would suggest. We're not going to starve, as the enemy would suggest. We're not going to die prematurely, as the enemy would suggest. And all those things and so on. I know how he works, because I'm human as well. God is really bringing us all to the end of ourselves. Why? So that we can bear fruit. All the while we're holding on, all the while with anxieties, fears and everything, we can't bear that fruit that he wants us to bear. It's hindered. It's stunted. And you know full well that if you've got a tree, a fruit tree, and it's not bearing fruit, I can guarantee you after about 5-6 years, you'll say to yourself, oh, chop the thing down. It's no good. It's not bearing any fruit at all. It's what people do. Well, thank God that the Lord doesn't do that with us, because he says he does it. he'll do it. But if we stay in and endure and just remain with what God has given to us, he's going to work and work and work that we bring much fruit for his glory. Hallelujah. What about the parable of the barren fig tree in Luke 13? Jesus was looking for fruit here. This was actually symbolizing, speaking also of Israel. Luke 13, verses 6 to 9. He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?" But he answered, and he said to him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that you can cut it down." That speaks of the mercy of God. Everything says that it should be cut down. Israel should be cut down and cast away. But he says, no, let's give her another chance and let's put some fertilizer this time. And praise God, he's going to save a remnant. All us Gentiles should be cast out. But no, let's give it a chance. Let's put some fertilizer. And what's that fertilizer? The Holy Spirit, the Word, the water of the Word. That's what's feeding us to see if we'll bear fruit. See, are you getting the picture now? What God's saying, it's about mercy and grace every time. What about Romans 6, verse 18? Let's look at some scriptures now that speak about all of this. Romans chapter 6. And verse 18. "And having been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life." And so it goes on. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So there's fruit. There's good fruit and bad fruit. And before we were found in Christ, we were fruitful, but it was bad fruit. Fruit gone off. Where it's fruit, it's good fruit now. It's a holy fruit. It's a fruit that's separated unto God. Chapter 7, verse 4 in Romans. 7, verse 4. "Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God." So this is how we're known. It's by the fruit that we bear. As the Holy Spirit works this, let's look again at some of this just to get this clear in Scripture. Let's look, turn to the book of Jude. Book of Jude 10 to 11. Verses 10 and 11 of Jude. "Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and have run greedily in the area of Balaam, the prophet, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are spots in your love feasts. While they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves, they are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. So there we discern a man, a ministry who bears fruit. It is known, it is seen. And a ministry that is fruitful doesn't have to lord it over the flock. A ministry that is fruitful doesn't have to beg or put people on ungodly pressures. Doesn't have to, because the fruit is there. It speaks for itself. So, you know, we can discern these things if we want to. Right, turning back to this parable, Matthew 12. I want to look at verse 33 of this in Matthew 12. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. So the nature of fruit bearing is to give you a fruitful life, a life that is sustained, a life that bears this fruit that can be shared and given out so that others may benefit as well, because that's what fruit trees are about, so that many people can share and be blessed by this fruitful life. So each of you should have a fruitful life, and others should be feeding off that fruitful life in whatever way God desires to work through you. Sometimes just your very presence in a situation can bring that peace and that harmony. We can never limit what God is doing in and through us, but always expect that God will do this anytime, anywhere, because it's all about fruit. And it reveals that good harvest. Then taking it on, he says, blood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And of course, he was speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees, who were hypocritical, putting burdens on others, but themselves living in luxury. And they was luxurious lives that they were living was that people in those days had to give, had to tithe. Doesn't change much, has it? Huh? Still that old spirit goes on today. It's just disguised and packaged in a different way. But that's what it is. And then it goes on, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. So it's out of the heart. And that's why we need a new heart, a heart that is changed, renewed. We need God in our hearts because he is the fruit bearer. It is the Godhead who resides, dwells, lives in you. He is the fruit bearer. Now, there's no one who bore greater fruit than Jesus. And in his earthly ministry, he bore fruit. He showed us what fruit bearing is. Well, he's now risen. And he's come back to us. He's not only come back to us, the Godhead has come back to us, but dwells, resides into us. But he's come back in his fullness, which also means he's come back in his fruitful life. That we too can bear that fruit. So the fruit that he bears, the fruit that he has, is so great that he shares that fruit through us with each other and to this dying world. Isn't it incredible? So that fruit you are bearing is the fruit that comes from the Godhead, the fruit that is found in Jesus Christ, ministered to us through the Holy Spirit. And so as we yield over and we allow the Spirit to move, so he will work. And fruit bearing is often born, often by what we don't say. We don't have to say an awful lot for fruit to be born, for people to share of that fruit. So, because fruit is about often what we say as well, isn't it? Not just our actions, but what comes out of our mouth. So what should come out of our mouth should be fruitful, peaceful, loving, and so on. So that people glean from it. So that we edify, we encourage our brother, our sister in the faith. The reason that we're here today isn't about me. It's about my coming to edify, encourage my brother through Jesus Christ as I glorify and lift his name. That's what this meeting is about. Now, if that isn't fruit bearing, I don't know what is. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. I can only say ouch to that. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. But there are two types of fruits. Good fruits, good things, and evil things. Good things can only come out of a surrendered life. Out of a life that is filled with the Spirit, looking to Jesus, completely surrendered, the cross working. That is a fruitful life. An evil life comes out of selfishness, greed, and pride. And that is corrupt fruit. And God has to work with us. He has to work so that we are fruitful. Because if we're all the while consumed in self, me, I, you are never going to bear that fruit that is acceptable. It's corrupt. It's evil. Because the fruit that comes is always self-motivated. The fruit that you see is a bad fruit. Because it's a fruit where somebody not only thinks about self, what they want, but they're planning, they're scheming, they're devious. They're all those things that sadly we see in the world. That is a bad fruit. That isn't the fruit that should come out of the Christian's lips and life and heart. Well, looking at the conclusion in all of this, what do we do then? Do we become fruitful, or are we going to continue to do things for self-gain out of fear? That is why God is removing fear. Because in love, there's not fear. And all the while there is fear attached to us, fruit is hindered. And if you don't deal with that fear, it only takes one apple amongst many apples that is off that will affect all the rest. That's why if you keep apples, and you can keep them, but to keep apples, you have got to make sure every apple is healthy and good. You get one apple that's off or rotten, and it will soon affect the rest. And that's why you have to check them periodically when you keep apples through the winter. You've got to check, because sometimes they start to go off. And if they are, you remove them, because they'll affect as quick as anything. And so God does the same. God does the same in his body. If there is fruit there that's going bad, corrupt, and they are rebelling, they refuse to bow that knee, he eventually has to remove it. Why? Because it's obvious it will start to affect the rest. I know that sounds hard, but we've seen it happen. We've seen how the Holy Spirit has done it, because it's all about bearing fruit. And God isn't about to let the rest of the fruit in his body become sour and corrupt and go off. Or are we going to minister the life and love of Jesus through us that reaches out to others? This is why I say, it isn't about you, it isn't about me. It is about the life of Christ that lives in me. It's about him expressing how he feels, what he wants, what he's saying, what he wishes to do. It is me yielding to that so that his life can live through me. Because as I see his life lives through me, the fruit that is in him lives through me out to others as well. That is why this whole thing isn't about you or me. It is about the life of Christ in me. I know I go on about this, but I am going to bring this up again. This is no surprise or shock to those who practice the occult, particularly those who are mediums, witchcraft. They will have what they call a familiar spirit. It is a demon. And that demon stays with them. And that demon is very, very controlling over them. And that demon requires them to submit totally, completely to that demon. And it takes them years in order to be trained by that demon, so that demon can manifest itself through them in whatever way and purpose, you know, that they do. Now, they understand that. Yet when you apply that principle to Christianity, and we're dealing with the Godhead, we're dealing with God who is uncreated eternal spirit, who now lives and resides in us. Oh, we've suddenly got blockages. Suddenly we don't understand. Doesn't make sense or anything. Why? Because the enemy knows that that is where the power lies. That is where the fruit lies. That is where the building of the body of Christ lies. But we have to submit to this. And praise God, he is gentle. He's merciful. He doesn't give up on us. He's ever working with us so that we decrease, that he increases. That's what he's doing every day. The moment you wake up and you face the day, you may not be aware of it, but he's working with you. Less of you, more of me. And that's the principle in operation. What does it say in Proverbs 8, verse 19? Proverbs 8, and verse 19. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. So fruit, if you want to regard it to something, it says it's even better than gold. It's that precious. Wonderful, isn't it? Really is. And let's carry on with it, because it carries on at verse 20 of Proverbs 8. Let's look at Proverbs 18. It's Proverbs 18, so I'm getting confused here. Proverbs 18, verses 20, 21. 18, 20, 21. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, from the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So whatever you are confessing, you will eat of its fruit. That's why we make much about confession. Our confession is that it lines up with the word of God. You may say to yourself, well, I don't really feel very healed. Doesn't matter. Line it up with the word of God. Well, you don't know. We're in terrible debt, you know. We owe a lot of money. Doesn't matter. Line it up with the word of God. What are you going to believe at the end of the day? God will get us through. But we have to line it up. Because when we line our confession with the word of God, that is the fruit of our lips. And how are Christians known? By their fruit. And so we're speaking. We're speaking God's word. They may say, oh, those Christians, they're nothing but liars. They speak about they're healed. They speak about their debts are paid and everything. You know, well, give it time. Give it time. Yes, it always looks as though we're the ones suffering. We look ridiculous. We look stupid and everything. Give it time. But people who've still got a proud problem find that one difficult. Because, oh no, I can't look stupid for Christ. No way. Gosh, I've got my reputation to think about. Got my image, you know? You've got to get rid of that, brothers and sisters. Really have. I tell you, and I know how Satan works on that one. I really do. We're God's peculiar treasure. Of course we look ridiculous. God's people always have. That's God's choice. That's why scribes and the Pharisees hated it. See? Religious people hate such meetings like this. Goes completely against the grain. But that is God's mind and heart. The word is to bring, as I bring it to a close now, the word is to bring forth fruit. And I'm trusting today that what we've heard today, we're going to bring more fruit as a result of this. Because if we don't get it from the word, we're not going to get it from anything else. Colossians chapter 1, verses 4 to 6. Colossians chapter 1, verses 4 to 6. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of truth in the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. So the gospel brought forth fruit. Hallelujah. And this is fruitful. It is a fruitful land. And that's why our confession is like the two spies that came back showing the produce of the land. We're well able to take it. There's fruit there. Look, see what there is. Same with us. We're pressing in because the land is fruitful. And it makes us fruitful. That's the whole point. And the farmer, he waits for that fruit. That's what he's doing. That's why he's tarrying. He is, I believe, those tarrying at the moment. Should have come. But he's waiting for fruit. Well.
Rushes onward, ever glowing. rushes onward, ever growing, till it finds fulfillment in the arms of the sea. So I worship and adore you, lay my whole life down before you, and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security. And Jesus is